Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western Christianity, the breakdown of our Western civilizations that really had about a 1,500-year run on a Christian worldview, at least if you're talking about what's happening in Europe, America, and Canada, and perhaps Australia and New Zealand, there have been periods throughout the world where the Christian faith has had tremendous influence upon lots and lots and lots of people. But that influence has been waning fast for a long time. We've seen so many different articles recently where people are saying that the faith is disappearing. There's far less people call themselves Christians today in America than did even like 15, 20 years ago. Same thing, obviously, for England, Sweden, and elsewhere. Places in Europe, it's hard to find a Christian church. It's hard to find anybody who goes to church. In some places in London, hey, the church attendance rate is 0.6%, pretty much what you'd find in Japan or Zimbabwe or some other pagan nation. Well, friends, the reason for that is that we've been walking away from the faith for a long time. We've been synthesizing with humanistic ideas. We've been synthesizing with Eastern ideas. We've been synthesizing with every single worldview that counters the Christian worldview at every single point, whether it be epistemology, metaphysics, or ethics. And I believe I trace it all the way back to John Locke, to Rene Descartes, to Jean-Jacques Rousseau, to Karl Marx, to Immanuel Kant, to, you know, these were the philosophers that set a trajectory away from Trinitarian Christianity back in the 1700s and 1800s. And it's been a long haul, but after a while, the Christian worldview hardly makes any difference in the way that we live our lives. Well, the present threat, something we have not mentioned very much on this program as we talk worldviews in the battle for a Christian worldview in the Western world, is the New Age movement. And Dave, the New Age movement is becoming increasingly more important. It's important this year because of December 21st, 2012.
What's that?
Yeah, December 21st, 2012. What's wrong with you? You haven't been watching movies? You haven't seen the movie 2012? And haven't been following the age of Aquarius or whatever it is? The new eschaton is supposed to appear December 12th, 2012, I guess. This is what I've heard.
That's what you've heard?
That's what I've heard, yes. It's okay. Remember the camping fella?
Harold Camping.
Right,
yeah.
Harold Camping, who was sort of the Christian view, Christian approach to the end of the world. This is the New Age Harold Camping prediction that December 12, 2012 is the big day where the Mayan calendar flips over to the new calendar or something. I haven't been following it very well because I'm not New Age, but apparently 2012 is a big year. So get ready, guys, for the next 7, 8, 9 months. You're probably going to hear something about December 21st.
So that would mean that you probably, if you are a landlord, not rent your property to hippies because they think the world's going to end and you're not going to get paid.
That's possible, I guess. You know, and I have a feeling they're going to break out the Kool-Aid on December 22nd. I have a feeling that this is going to be a pretty crazy year. Just a gut feel because of what I've been reading, some of the chatter going on the internet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's important for you to know that the New Age movement is not specifically an Eastern movement. Okay, a lot of people think the New Age movement is just simply a regurgitation of Eastern philosophies. It embalms Eastern philosophies. But please understand, New Age is a synthesis. In fact, according to one source, I think it was Wikipedia, American culture has been madly synthesizing Western ideas with Eastern ideas for the last number of years. And according to Wikipedia, New Age, its central precepts have been described as, quote, drawing on both Eastern and Western spiritual and metaphysical traditions and infusing them with influences from self-help, motivational psychology, holistic health, parapsychology, consciousness research, and quantum physics. Its goal is to create a spirituality without borders. It's kind of what we've been trying to do. Spirituality without borders, except they do it without Christ. We're trying to actually get a kingdom going, but for us, it's Jesus Christ is really the one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the New Age approach wants to do this without Christ. It's based in a monistic worldview. That is, it does not appreciate a creature-creator distinction. Now, Dave, I think what a lot of people understand is that Christian churches have been madly synthesizing through this means as well. A lot of the methodologies that Christian churches have been using is increasingly Eastern, and I think it's an unholy mixture with Western
ideas, but a lot of the Western science that marries itself to the Eastern philosophies is the very worst form of Western science, does not have a strong Christian mooring to it. In other words, what you get, here's what you get with New Age. What you get is man wanting to improve himself without God. Okay? What you get in the Western world is man doing lots and lots and lots of science without the fear of God. That's very important. That's a very important component to the New Age ideal. But you've got to marry in with that a monistic worldview and some Eastern philosophies. If you can do that, if you can pull off a Western science without the fear of the triune God, okay, which is what we've had for the last 150 years or so. We're not talking about the Boyle stuff, the Newton stuff, and the fear of God that was happening with Kepler and Galileo and all those guys who were fearing the true and living God, understood the Trinitarian God and worshiped him in the chemistry laboratory. Okay, that was happening back in the 1600s and 1700s. But by the time you get to the 1800s with Darwin and others, you begin to get this weaning of Christianity from science and science itself becoming the primary form of epistemology. That is, man knows things primarily through his senses and through his processing of these things that he absorbs through his senses. And so God is no longer a factor. God's revelation is no longer a factor. The metaphysical idea that God is important in his creation and that God is separate from his creation and over his creation, sovereign over his creation, those sorts of things are not factors in the average science classroom today. That's Western science. You take that, you marry it with New Age ideas and the Eastern ideas, and you get the New Age philosophy.
And it's important to say that the New Age philosophy has no orthodoxy. There isn't a creed.
Confession. I think the one creed is we hate the God of the Bible. That's the one creed. I think there's
all
one
other
creed.
Beliefs are welcome.
That's right. That's right. We hate Christianity. Whatever we're all apostatizing away from, you know, the thing that was stuck on what the Western world for the last 1500 years, we hate that. That's the one thing we hate. The one thing we won't allow is the worship of the true and living God. Outside of that, everything's acceptable. So what you get is this wildly polytheistic, wildly synthesizing mix of all kinds of weirdness. But the one thing you don't get in American classrooms today is the true worship of the true and living God.
And Kevin, that's because the true living God says you'll have no other gods. And so that would exclude the spirit of the wolf or the occultic worship of Satan or the earth, wind, and fire worshipers or the Eastern mystics. And that is unacceptable to them because their basic premise is everything is God or could be God or spiritual.
Right, right. And what is unacceptable in the public schools today, friends, is any God who says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Every other God is okay. But if there's a God out there that is so narrow-minded and so bigoted that he won't allow any other gods before him, that's the God that is not tolerated in our present society. Today, in just a moment, we're going to analyze more of this New Age movement, especially as it affects medicine. Friends, this is the incarnation, and people out there, I know they want to separate worldviews from incarnations. Really, really bad idea. We're going to talk about that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Hey And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we talk about what's going on in our present world, especially as the New Age influence has come in and affected much of medicine. Believe it or not, medicine has been affected by this. And how in the world do we look at all of these different issues from a biblical perspective? How do we look at Harry Potter, for example? We talked about that on the program before. We've defined witchcraft. We pointed out that the source of power is important. And we pointed out that witchcraft is as defined in scripture as the appealing to forces that that are ultimately not of God. Forces like the demon world that are not of God in order to what? In order to know some secret knowledge, in order to know something about the future, in order to control or predestine something about the future. It's acting, of course, and trying to know something outside of the knowledge and the power of God himself. Now, that's the ultimate definition of these things. Of course, witchcraft is manifested in various forms of seances and omens and things of that nature. So we've talked about that before on the program. But what we really want to talk about today is we want to go into the area of medicine, David, and analyzing medicine. And so it's important. You walk into some place where this guy is an Eastern mystic. I mean, he believes in a monistic worldview. He believes that there is a life force. And there is one life force, and we all tap into the same life force. That, to me, is a really bad metaphysic. Come on, that's bad metaphysic.
That's Star Wars. That's a movie.
Well, that's also a metaphysic that's Hindu. It's monistic. It doesn't acknowledge a creature-creator distinction. And that's a humongous problem from my perspective. Now, the next person is going to come to me and say, well, yeah, he teaches that we all tap into the same life force. And I'll teach you how to tap into this big old life force and so forth and so on. But you know what? I don't agree with that part of it. But I'm going to take every other form of incarnation, every treatment he gives me. I'm just going to trust that all of that is appropriate. I'm just going to reject the philosophy. Now, Dave, first of all, I think people need to realize that worldviews are connected to incarnations. I mean, you can't separate these things. People act on their worldviews. People determine certain things based on their worldviews. Now, granted, sometimes you have this mixture of worldviews where you need to sort them out. And you need to see where there are proper incarnations, where there's improper incarnations of the worldviews. But this idea that somehow you can take the fruit of a certain tree and ignore the tree itself is antithetical to what Jesus has said. A thorn tree will bring forth thorns, is what Jesus said. So we need to be careful that we don't separate the worldview itself from the incarnations themselves. And Dave, one of the applications I would take to this is if a particular form of medical methodology has been developed specifically out of a false ideology or a false philosophy, I think you ought to be really suspect of that methodology.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now it's not to say that there might be some kind of methodology that we can discover that we have never discovered before. But if the people presenting it are presenting it based upon a very, very faulty metaphysic or worldview, that's a problem. Let's analyze it. Let's understand their metaphysic, and let's be careful not to take these methodologies hook, line, and sinker. The problem, of course, is that in the present world, you've got so much synthesis, you've got to unravel these things. I take alchemy as an example. Alchemy is one of the best examples because alchemy comes over from the Muslims. They had it for 300-400 years until about 1150 when a couple of monks began to borrow these things. And for a time, alchemy was a mixture of a lot of different things. You had to be careful because the lines between alchemy, chemistry, and small-scale assailing and metallurgy was not as neat as it is in the present day. So that's the first thing. So you have to be kind of careful. Sometimes some people are actually doing something that's appropriate while they're all mixed up with others who may not be doing things that are appropriate. But often the work of alchemists was never really shared with anybody. They retained a Gnostic secret knowledge as if they had secret powers and secret knowledge that nobody else had. And this is a problem I have with water witching. I think we have to be careful with something like water witching. I understand these things are controversial topics, but I was talking to somebody in my church after I gave a message on witchcraft. And this young man came up to me and said he knows somebody who does this this water thing with the sticks. Okay,
the divining rod.
The divining thing, right. And I said, okay, there's a method to this. And can this man teach you the method? And what he said was, this guy's a Christian. He's an older guy. He's got the gift, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But not everybody can do this. I said, well, that's a problem. Because if you cannot explain a method and it is a secret knowledge, then as I see it, that in and of itself is a problem, because the knowledge and wisdom that Jesus Christ gives us is not a secret knowledge. Jesus said, the things that I've shared with you, I have shared in the open. I have kept nothing secret from you. I think it's John chapter 19, if I'm not mistaken, where he says that before Pontius Pilate or at his trial. And it's very important from a Christian perspective that we not participate in the secret Gnostic forms of knowledge. And Dave, you know this has existed from really the beginning of time, or since the fall of man, where man participates in this secret knowledge and they join secret societies and they develop secret incantations, and certain people have the power, others do not have the power. This is problematic as I see it when it comes to medical work. Outside of the healing that God brings supernaturally to us, we are reliant upon the things that he reveals to us in an open way, in an open sense. It's open for all of us to understand. When someone is hiding some form of secret knowledge and say, well, only I have the ability, only I have the knowledge, I tap into some universal knowledge or some universal wisdom, and you can't participate in this, you can't tap into this, I'm concerned about that. I think it's a wrong-headed application of knowledge.
I think it's important, Kevin, that we discern between inductive and deductive reasoning and knowledge. When something comes deductively, that is, let's say you have a principle from an Indian yogi, and we develop our methods based on his principle, that's deductive knowledge. And we should be very suspect of that deduction, because we believe that yogi does not have a Christian worldview, is not tapped into the truth of God. On the other hand, he gives a particular method, and we can test that method. We can verify that method. We can have multiple observers verify that method. We've now gone into an inductive method, which is very Christian, because God is a God of order. And now that method can be transferred and because it is inductive.
And known by others.
Right.
And taught to others.
Right. Now there is one caveat here. The Apostle Paul does say that there is gifts given to Christians, and one of those gifts is healing. And that is a little bit mysterious who has that gift, but one who has that gift of healing, it should be able to be observed, it should be able to be validated by multiple people, and it ought to be able to be tested.
Arguably there's debate within the Christian groups on whether or not that gift still exists. Actually, I believe that God can do a miracle. He can short circuit the natural cause and effect relationships anytime he wants to. And that's appropriate according to my confessional statement too, that I use in our church. But so I believe that God can supernaturally heal people and does supernaturally heal people here and there according to his sovereign intentions.
But the gift does not have to be supernatural. And that's my point. The gift can actually be somebody who has skill in the medical community, in helping people get healthy. They look at them, they say, oh, you know, you've got a cold, take some chicken noodle soup. That's their gift. Now, can anybody do that? Well, some people can do it better than others.
Yeah. But my point is, I think it can be taught. Now, it's possible that it may take longer to teach some than to others. So I guess that's another aspect to this. Right. It's possible that you may have to spend a couple extra years working with some people than with other people, but you should be able to express what you're doing in words. You should be able to bring this out into the open. It doesn't have to be a secret Gnostic knowledge. And anytime you have this secret Gnostic knowledge happening, I believe it's problematic. You brought up yoga. And Dave, I think this is important as well, because we've had this discussion on yoga. You remember that Al Mohler got into some hot water when he mentioned that yoga was not Christian. And one of the things that I did as I looked at yoga is I said, okay, what are the irreducible and essential elements of yoga? I mean, again, you got to ask yourself, does this have pagan roots or does this have Christian roots? What is the philosophy underlying it? And what are the irreducible and essential elements to what I'm talking about. And as you explore this, that's why I think it's important. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's acupuncture. I don't care if it's yoga. I don't care if it's chiropractic. I think every Christian father who decides to use this or that or another thing, he needs to explore this. If his kids are getting into Ouija boards, probably ought to look up Ouija board on a Wikipedia or an encyclopedia and maybe even do some research, buy a book on it written by a Christian and or maybe three or four books written by a Christian and determine whether or not Ouija boards are a good thing for the family. Again, friends, don't be an idiot. Be discerning. And ask yourself, what is this thing that we're doing? And don't separate the worldview from the incarnation, the exercises and the methodologies involved in the practice. And yoga, here we go. Here's a few things on yoga. Wikipedia, definition of yoga. The goal of yoga or the person practicing yoga is the attainment of a state of perfect spiritual insight and tranquility while meditating on the Hindu concept of divinity or Brahman. Okay, right away, Dave. Right away, I give you that. That's the goal of yoga. Meditating on the Hindu concept of divinity or Brahman right away. Problem.
Yeah, the goal's a problem.
Goal's a problem, yeah. Secondly, Swami Ajaya, whoever he is, says this. The main teaching of yoga is that man's true nature is divine. Problem?
Problem.
Okay. Okay. Problem right away. Okay, don't do yoga. Its main teaching is bad. We disagree with it. It's the wrong worldview. You're not divine. You're not God. Okay, now, that's really hard for the American, American today.
On the other hand, Kevin, if you want to twist yourself into a pretzel and feel that you're not God, go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to do some stretches, I'm okay with some stretches. Okay, but be careful. If there's a system called yoga and its main teachings are bad, then suspect the incarnations too. Some of the repetitions can be problematic. Some of the repetitions involve a weird form of meditation that involves what the pagans would call repetitious, whether it be breathing or whether it be the mantra. Oftentimes the breathing is supposed to be repetitious in a methodical, hypnotic sort of way. Sometimes you want to, or they tell you to exercise in a certain methodical way. Sometimes they tell you to say a word as in a mantra over and over again in hypnotic sense. Why? Because they're engaging in vain repetitions. Jesus warns us about vain repetitions in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't you dare pray. Don't you dare do your worship. Don't you dare do the meditation in a vainly repetitious manner, because that's the way the pagans do it. The Bible's really clear about this, that we're not to engage worship in certain ways. We need to do it by means of engaging our understanding and comprehend propositions and worship God in spirit and in truth, and engage the understanding. Engage the understanding. Sing with the understanding. Pray with the understanding. This is very important in a Christian viewpoint. No, we don't empty our minds, and no, we don't focus on our belly button, and no, we don't engage in a self-oriented viewpoint or a hyper self-consciousness or self-awareness, turning ourselves inside on ourselves. That addresses the wrong problem. Our problem is not a lack of self-awareness. Our problem is not the disunification of body and soul. Our problem is not the lack of melding into the oneness of God. Our problem is rebellion and sin against God, and the solution is the preaching of the Word of God. It's faith in Jesus Christ and repentance of our sins that comes through the thoughtful reception of the preaching of the Word of God. Okay, that's our worldview. Those are our incarnations. And the Hindu form has its own. So don't do yoga. Now, if you want to do some stretches, do some stretches, but don't call it yoga. Don't call it yoga. Because yoga means monism. The word itself means monism. You're not a monist if you have a Christian worldview. You're not a monist. Dave, I think a lot of Christians are just ignorant of their worldviews. I mean, they don't understand the difference between a Christian worldview, a Trinitarian worldview, which acknowledges the one and the many, and the monist worldview, which is hyper oneness in your metaphysic.
But Kevin, when I exercise, I have some of these manifestations. Now, I'm 50 years old, so I have a breathing pattern. It's very deep. It's very rapid. And I say the same word over and over again. It's ow, 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 ow.
Yeah. I think the pain is so intense that you're probably not risking any kind of weird hypnosis.
Oh.
I think your understanding is still engaged and your understanding understands one thing, and that is you're in pain.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And I know I'm not God at that point.
Yeah. Exactly.
Much, much lower.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you ever seen me jog, you know I'm a creature of the dirt.
Yeah.
Because I fall down.
Okay. Okay. I think that's pretty much works out the issue, friends. Okay. We just gave you a few examples today. I can't solve all issues and I can't answer all the questions related to the medical issue. But friends, you need to be aware of these counter worldviews and how they manifest themselves in so many different ways, especially in health and medicine. Dave, it's important, I think, that we not give way to an Eastern viewpoint on medicine. Nevertheless, the Western viewpoint has been somewhat perverted too. What's interesting, I gave a message on this a while back, and both sides were a bit offended. Those sides that you know were erring more towards the Eastern, and those who were erring more towards the Western. And I think we just need to understand that we have a lot in our heritage that may not be right, and we need to continually go back and reassess the worldviews, and Dave, maybe just redefine our medical practices somewhat according to a distinctively Christian worldview. And I understand that Christians aren't involved that much in the area of medical care, but worldviews matter. And if you don't want to be wasting time playing with alchemy and playing with the wrong worldviews as they're expressed and as they're incarnated, you better develop your own.
Kevin, I think we're at a place in history that's very interesting in terms of medical care. There has been a tyranny in the West of the American Medical Association, highly influenced by major drug manufacturers. And we appreciate the major drug manufacturers because they've been generally helpful. But there is a suspicion and the cynicism now of medicine. Doctors who don't treat patients, but they treat diseases. And in fact, doctors who seem to be working for the drug companies as much as anything else.
And doctors that ignore the spirit, the soul.
Absolutely.
And they won't lay hands on a patient and pray God's healing power upon that person.
So I think what you have is a cynicism of the tyranny of the AMA system, and that's giving way, like everything else does. Tyranny gives way to absolute total chaos in the medical community. So people are running to acupuncture or magnets or changing their mattress or any other such thing, usually on the basis of an internet article or a neighbor said or something else that really isn't scientific, isn't biblical, but maybe based more on hunch or intuition. I think it's a crazy time. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy time. Yeah. But I'm just as concerned about the New Age influence, not just on our health, but on our spirituality in the Christian church. In the time of Christ, there was a group called the Essenes. They're not mentioned much in the Bible because they were kind of off in the desert trying to get their secret spiritual knowledge. We have Christian mysticism today. People who say they hear the voice of God, literally with their ears, and they have this secret knowledge. God only spoke to them, or it comes through prophecies or interpretations that are going on today. And this form of mysticism is very closely related to the New Age. It has many of the same elements, and it doesn't rely upon the Word of God in order to test it out. And I'm very concerned about that as well, Kevin, because I think we're swimming in this New Age motion more than we understand.
At the same time that we're cautioning you concerning the worldviews, the metaphysical perspectives maintained by those who develop these methodologies, let me also say that we don't want to curtail Christian liberty. I mean, there may be certain things that could be helpful for some people and not helpful for others. The body, human body, may be very different for some folks, and some diseases may affect a person differently than another person. Therefore, certain cures may work better for some than for others. So the principle of individuality still exists. But Dave, I think beyond anything else, what we want to warn people about is don't give way to witchcraft. Don't give way to incantations where you take a medicine and you say these six words over and over again. Or don't give way to a faith in a system, a faith in a doctor. ultimate faith in a doctor. Obviously, you do somewhat believe a professional who's tested a medicine 600 times and found that it's effective in 327 cases. You trust some of that, but don't trust them implicitly. Be careful. The placebo effect is very high only because people have all this misplaced trust in doctors and professionals who give them the water pill, and then they feel a lot better for the next 6 months or a year. So be careful. Be careful that you're putting your trust more in God, way, way more in God, way more in God than you are in a doctor or in your body's ability to self-diagnose or your body's ability to heal itself. Hey, you know, we've all been damaged by the fall. We all deceive ourselves. We all have our problem with mortality and weakness, and our minds and our bodies and souls have all been affected by the fall. So we need God to heal us. We need to believe in God. We need to trust in God more than we trust in professionals and more than we trust in ourselves. And Dave, I mean, these are the big picture issues when it comes to medical care. And I hope that people begin to take these words into consideration, because what happens over time, I think, is people are lured into the wrong perspective concerning themselves, concerning their bodies, concerning healing, and concerning the world around them.
Kevin, when you have to choose between Dr. A and Dr. B, and you're going to choose which doctor to care for you, don't choose the witch doctor.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. And the witch doctor is the one who trusts in demons, or the witch doctor is the one who trusts in himself, or the witch doctor is the one who trusts in man. A godly doctor ultimately would trust in God. And I think, Dave, what we need to do is we need to go to the elders first. James chapter 5. And this is kind of a no-brainer. Go to the elders first. Ask them to pray over you and anoint you with oil. And hey, that's biblical. So, Dave, I'll tell you what. I don't run into many people in our church that come to the elders first before they go to the chiropractor or before they go to the doctor. I don't run into too many who come to the elders first. But James chapter 5 is kind of obvious. You know, go to your elders first.
Here's another prescription. You might try repentance, because removing of the anxiety, having a pure heart towards God, that can relieve a lot of stress on the body, and a lot of diseases won't get foothold. You know, so yeah, you might just try repenting too.
Yeah. Okay, folks, I hope this discussion's been helpful to you. Can't answer all the questions on this edition of the Generations broadcast, but if you'd like to interact with the program, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.